All right, let's look in Luke chapter 22. I'm going to share a message. At the end of the message, we'll observe the Lord's table together. Title of the message, now Luke chapter 22, Remember Me. And we're going to begin reading in verse 14 and read down to verse 20. Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time tonight that we can gather together, not just to study the Word of God, but, Lord, and be able to gather around the Lord's table. Remember all that Christ has done for us, and his sacrifice of himself, that we might be able to be redeemed through the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And so, God, I pray you'd bless our time together. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher tonight. May we be able to make sound, practical applications of the Word of God in each of our lives this evening. So bless us, speak to us, meet with us tonight, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 19. He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So remember me. Jesus is the one who initiated the observance of the communion table, or the, oftentimes we call it the Lord's Supper, with his disciples. The early church and the apostles would gather on a regular basis to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they would do that by breaking of bread and passing of the juice and remembering the body of Christ that was broken and literally his blood that was shed to atone for our sins. And his body that was battered, bruised, and crucified would be buried, and 3 days later he would rise up out of the grave victorious over sin, the devil, and death itself, to provide for us a way to be saved and redeemed throughout all the ages for all eternity. We're not just saved for a short while, but we are saved for eternity. It is Apostle Paul who gave instructions to the church concerning how to observe the Lord's table. And I'd just like to look real briefly in 1 Corinthians 11, because we'll be going there when we have communion. But I see when Paul instituted the Lord's table and gave instructions in reference to coming to the Lord's table, he mentions the fact of the importance of unity. In verse 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17 says, Now this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And so here he is condemning them on the lack of unity within the body of Christ as they would gather around the Lord's table. And it is a serious thing for there to be disunity among the body of Christ when we're coming to remember the body of Christ that was sacrificed so as to enable us to have unity. You cannot take of the Lord's table with a clear conscience and a pure heart if you have resentment and bitterness and anger towards someone in your life. That needs to be dealt with and needs to be taken care of, and there must be reconciliation offered for the opportunity to restore that fellowship. And so Paul, as he gives instructions in coming to the Lord's table, he says, I hear there's disunity. I hear there's division among you. And he said, I believe there is.
And he tells them very specifically here, they're not coming together to observe the Lord's table with that spirit upon them. So unity. He deals with piety in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. He says, "For I received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes." That's piety. When we come to the Lord's table, not only should we be united together, but we acknowledge the fact that this is a God himself who came into this world, took on the form of man, and died on the cross so that we might be saved. And when we take of the communion table, it's reminding us of that brutal suffering that Christ went through so that we might be able to be delivered from the bondage of sin and from the torments of hell. So it's piety. We recognize this is what God has done for us. This is not something man has done, but rather it is something that God has done. And we acknowledge that when we come to the communion table. So there's unity, there's piety, there's also integrity. In verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, I'm sorry, he goes on, he says, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What is he saying? When we come to the Lord's table, it is important for us to be united together, recognizing this is something that God has done for us and has done in us. But more so than that, there needs to be integrity when we come to the Lord's table. It's not a show. It's not literally something that you're going to come with sin in your heart, rebellion against God, and think that you can enjoy a fellowship with the Lord, because you are guilty before God if there is a lack of integrity. Oftentimes people want to take communion because they've been taught in different religions or some type of mystical grace that happens at the communion table that saves them or cleanses them. But the reality is, you're supposed to be cleansed before you come. You're supposed to be right with God before you come to the table. And so there's integrity that needs to be exercised. In other words, be honest with yourself in reference to your relationship with God. If there is something that is hindering your relationship with God, then get it right with God before you come to the Lord's table. If you're not saved, you've never been born again, then the Bible warns us that you have no part of the Lord's table. You say, oh, it's a terrible thing to say. You read through the Gospels, you'll find that when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was after Judas Iscariot departed. Because Judas Iscariot never trusted Christ as his Savior. He died and he went to his own place. He went to the place of torment in hell. But he did not sit at the table with the other disciples and partake of the Lord's Supper. Jesus looked him in the eyes and told him, "What thou doest, do quickly." And Judas rose up from the table and left and went out and betrayed Christ. And so when we approach the Lord's table, there's no mystical grace that is experienced here, but it is a memorial that deserves our respect and our honesty and our reverence, that when we come to the Lord's table, it is representing the body of Christ that was battered and bruised. The body of Christ is the church. We're supposed to be one and united together. It is Christ who died for us. So that's piety. It is what God has done. But it is a sense of integrity. We do not come hiding and covering our sins. We come clean with God and become pure as we approach the Lord's table together. So Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. He wanted them to remember him. And what I want to do is look at 22 things tonight. No, I'm not going to do that. just a few things that we need to remember what Christ said to us. And I think when we come to the communion table, it's a time of reflection. And it's a time of reminding us of who it is that we are worshiping and surrendering to. First of all, he wanted them to remember persecution. That's always an exciting topic. But persecution, how do we approach persecution? Jesus literally said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So how do we approach this concept of persecution? With humility is how we approach it. In John chapter 15 and verse 20, here it is. Jesus says, remember the word that I said unto you. All these verses, all these things we're going to look at are things that Jesus spoke to the disciples on what he wanted them to remember. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept not, if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So we approach persecution, we approach it with a spirit of humility because we remember that Christ is the master. We are his servants. And if he so suffered persecution and ridicule and mockings and crucifixion, then it is expected of the servant to know that, wait a minute, we're not better than he is. So why in the world do we become shocked with the reality that we may face opposition and persecution in this life? When we come to the Lord's table, let's remember we have this because of the persecution Christ suffered for us when he was crucified on the cross. So we approach it with humility. We also approach this remembering priority. In John chapter 16 and verse 3 and 4, Jesus said, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. And so Jesus reminds the disciples that, wait a minute, here is a priority that you need to grab a hold of, that they are against me because they don't know the Father. And when the world, don't think it's a strange thing when you fall into fiery trials. That's what Peter says. Why? Because Jesus said, when this happens to you, remember that I warned you and I told you that these things were going to come to pass. And in the world that we're living in, I believe we're rapidly getting close to the return of Jesus Christ. And that is because of the fact that the world is going so quickly downhill. It is like it is a snowball that is going down hills, picking up speed and picking up speed, getting more and more larger and more aggressive and more devastating. And it is because of the fact the world is going to be in complete chaos and out of control when Jesus Christ comes again. And so the priority in our life is to remember that God has already warned us and told us that these things are going to come to pass. So set a priority in your life to be prepared to face what it is we may have to go through as believers. And we say, well, man, that's not very positive. It's not very exciting to hear that. Well, Jesus Christ suffered these things, and he said, you need to remember these things and be aware of those things. This do in remembrance of me. So humility, priority, then there's ungodly. In Jude chapter 1, in verse 17 through 19, says, but love, beloved, remember. Every time you ought to go through your Bible, that'd be a good study for you. Just go through the Bible and underline the places where the word remember is. And then read the verses and acknowledge the fact that's something God wants you to remember. And so he says this, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you their should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And so when you see the world acting like it is, I don't know why we're shocked. The unsaved people are unsaved. That's how they live. I don't know about you. When I was unsaved, I lived a very wicked life. That's just how you lived. Well, you need to remember that when you see what is going on in the world, and there are mockers, and there are aggressive evil spirits that are working. People are sensual because they do not have the Spirit of God upon them. And so every time I come to the communion table, it reminds me of the words that Jesus had spoken on how we are supposed to deal with and respond to persecution in this world. But also, Roman number 2 is just simply this, provision. Jesus did speak to us in reference to provision. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 8 and 9, we see that God's provision in our life is beyond human ability. I know this. There have been many, many times in my life where I did not know how I was going to be able to get through if it was not for God miraculously providing for me. So provision is beyond human ability. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 8, says, which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Oftentimes we have to be reminded that Jesus can take care of us beyond our own human ability. You say, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to take care of these financial responsibilities. I don't know how I'm going to take care of these situations I'm in. Wait a minute. Let's remember that God can provide and God can take care of us beyond human ability. But it also is beyond the physical realm of providing into this matter of spiritual ability for God to move on our behalf. In Mark chapter 8, in verse 15 through 19, same scenario, but a little bit different information that is revealed in Mark chapter 8 in verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of bread. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because of ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, ye see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember when I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000 and how the baskets were filled of fragments, took ye up? And they said unto him, 12. And he wants them to remember, wait a minute, there is some spiritual lesson that you need to learn and get a hold of in reference to my ability to meet your needs. And so he said, here they're reasoning in their mind that they didn't bring any bread along, and he's warning them of a spiritual principle. Watch out for the false doctrine of the Pharisees. And so when we remember the provision of God, remember he can provide for us beyond human reason and human ability, but wait a minute, he also provides for us miraculously like that to enter us into a spiritual relationship, an understanding that is deeper and beyond human reason, that God is with us and God provides us and protects us against false doctrine. Well, also, we need to, God's provision takes us beyond the me to others. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so when we remember what Christ sacrificed, he provided for us redemption, he provided for us salvation, he provided for us a way to be saved and go to heaven. But yea, he went way beyond that, that he can provide our every need, and whether it be physical needs or spiritual needs, so that we can meet the needs in other people's lives, that we can be a help to them. So remember, when you gather around the Lord's table, there are others who need the gospel. There are others who need to hear about Christ. And God has so saved you and delivered you so he can use you for that end and that purpose. So remember me, persecution, provision. And then I thought about preservation. Preservation in the power over the grave. When Jesus was buried, the grave could not hold him. Can you read that pretty good? I don't know, it's a little blurry. And the grave could not hold him. And the Pharisees, they came to Pilate after Jesus was crucified and buried. And in Matthew 27 and verse 63, they said this. They said, "Say, sir, we remember." Isn't it interesting that the unsaved remember? Why is it hard for us to remember? The unsaved, the Pharisees came to Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." Certainly we know that in Luke 24, again, when they came to the tomb, they said, "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." When we gather around the Lord's table, let's remember there is power over the grave. The Christian does not have to fear death because death has no hold on us. Paul said, "I'm confident rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." And so there is power over the grave because of the preservation of God. Because of the communion table, it reminds us of that sweet deliverance over the grave. Not only power over the grave, but power in life. Because he lives, we too shall live. And we have the power of God resting upon us to live our life for the glory of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Then Paul says in verse 8, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel. And where I have suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." It is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." And so let's remember that, wait a minute, God has given us power and strength to be able to live our lives in this life, because we have power and victory over death, because he arose out of the grave victorious, there is preservation to be able to be enjoyed. There is also power in the promises of God. In the message of Zacharias in Luke chapter 1 and verse 72, states his prophetical statement in reference to Christ coming. He said he was coming to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. And you know, there was a covenant that was signed in blood in the Old Testament as the lamb would be slain and the blood would be put on the doorpost. But there is a holy covenant that is sealed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we come to the communion table, it reminds us of the preservation, preserving power of God because of the covenant that was made. So we remember this due in remembrance of me. Let's not forget the promises on dealing with persecution and how we can rejoice in the provision of God and the preservation of the Lord in our lives. And here's the last one. There's position. There's position. We are positioned in Christ. What does that mean? There is real repentance. And Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Remember," Jesus is speaking to the church. He says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except you repent." So we must have a real spirit of repentance because of the position that we have in Christ. You come to the communion table, you're remembering all that God has done, and you're identifying what has hindered your ability to walk in fellowship with God. So what is your response? Repent. Repent to turn around and get on the right track and allow the Spirit of God to grow you and strengthen you for his glory. Real repentance needs to be experienced within the church of Jesus Christ. But there's also sincere steadfastness in this position that we have in Christ. in Revelation chapter 3 and 3 says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." And so he tells the church, remember, 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 remember that you need to repent. Remember what you have received from me. And if you're not alert and you're not watching and you're not serving, realize this, all of a sudden as a thief in the night, I'm going to show up and you're going to have to give an account of your life. So be sincere in your steadfastness. No wonder Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, gave the juice and gave the bread, representing the body that was broken, the blood that would be shed, and his response and requirement or desire, if you will, upon the disciples and upon us is simply, do this in remembrance of me. We cannot forget who Christ is and what Christ has done. Listen, communion here, the communion table is just not something that we do the first Sunday of every month. It's just not a formal observance because that's what Baptists do. They have communion 1 month in the morning and 1 month they have it in the evening. No, it is a time of remembering all that Christ sacrificed and suffered for us and allow that to convict us and move upon us so that we might get right with God. We'll be able to live our life pure and holy, rejoicing in all that Jesus Christ has done. Remember me. Listen, when you want to watch that movie that's a filthy movie, why don't you remember what Christ did? When you're with someone and they're wanting to do something that is wrong and immoral, just why don't you remember what Christ did for you? You know, make all the difference in the world, our responses to situations in life, if we would just really, truly remember what Christ has done to set us free from all those influences and all that bondage in our life. And let's come to the Lord's table with a pure heart tonight. This evening, as we observe the Lord's table, I'm not going to have any piano player playing or anything else. This is our invitation tonight, coming to the Lord's table. And I want you to ponder in your heart. I want you to take time to pray. I want you to be sincere in your evaluation. And if there is sin that needs to be confessed, let's confess it and get it right. If there is someone you have offended and some situation you need to get right, I'm going to ask you to do it very, very bluntly. I'm going to ask you not to take the Lord's table. And I'm going to ask you to go get it right with somebody. I'm going to ask you to go, if there's somebody in this room right here tonight that you need to get right with, I don't want you to go over and tell the person, you know what, you really offended me. You need to just go over and say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, and I need to be right with you. But oftentimes what we do is we deal with reconciliation. We talk about getting things right. We always want to pass the buck. It's always somebody else's fault. It takes two people to argue, and it takes two people to be at odds with one another. So get it right with the Lord. You say, well, that's pretty radical. I'm telling you right now, this is a radical thing when we come to the Lord's table. It is God Almighty Son who offered himself as a sacrifice on Calvary so that we might be saved and delivered from the bondage of all these wicked sins. We need not defile his memory by taking the Lord's table when we know we're defiled. Why don't we just take time to remember what it is that was a requirement to set us free tonight as we observe the Lord's table together. Let's pray, and then I'll have the men come, and we'll take some time to take of the bread and take of the juice tonight, thanking with a thankful heart, thanking the Lord for delivering our souls. God, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. When we remember all the many things that you have told us to remember, God, please forgive us for forgetting. God, please restore in our hearts, our soul, our spirit, God, a spirit of excitement and thrill that we are a child of God, that nothing in our life that could come into our life is more powerful, life-changing, and positive in developing a holy walk with God than remembering what it cost for us to be saved. Lord, I pray as we take of the bread and as we take of the juice tonight, God, that you'll restore our thinking process, that we may truly have the mind of Christ. We might grasp the depth of what Jesus was trying to portray in instituting this precious, precious memorial. And God, I pray that there'll be a spirit of repentance, spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation, a spirit of victory and of power. We praise you, O Lord. We love you with all of our heart tonight. And God, we desire for your spirit to minister to our hearts the precious memories of God. So bless this communion time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well,